you're very welcome back to the last hour of the 9 till noon show. I hope you're all keeping very well indeed. It's good to have you on board with us. Keep us busy on the phone lines, 08660 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25000. So let's get to some of your comments. Hi, Greg. I just heard you saying that the pint could go up to 10 euros. It'll finish the pubs, Greg, in this country. They're almost finished anyway. Things have just got too expensive in Ireland. That's why no one is coming here on holidays. Thanks. Well, I think we did have a... This is not to contradict you, because it could be the case going forward, but I thought we had a really a good year, did we not, in terms of tourism this year across the country. But anyway, I agree with you. 10 euro a pint and minimum wage is what, 12.50? Yeah, that makes sense. Is every decision maker in this country an idiot, or do they think we're the idiots? It's just like, what, for some people, just a couple of pints, right? Not everyone is a big drinker, but a couple of pints is how you shower your head, or you just meet with other people, or you get out of the house. And for many people, they just end up stuck in the house because they simply, it's hard to justify almost at this point. But 10-euro pint up here, which would make it 12 or 13 down south, I don't know. 8,000 in South Donegal would elect a Donegal-based TD, but it would take an independent voice like a Greg Hughes to harvest the majority of those votes. Thanks very much. I don't think so. I'd probably stand a better chance up here than down there. Greg, isn't that the typical Irish reaction? Hand it over to the Gardaí, then they don't have to answer questions that the public need to hear. It is what it is. Look, and I don't want it to come across like it's a hobby horse of mine. People raise issues with us here, and we try and platform them, but... I just wish the... If a health levy was applied to alcohol, the same levy would have to be imposed on betting, including the lottery. I like a Guinness with my meal. If a levy was put on my drink, I wouldn't bother eating out. This would have a knock-on effect on food suppliers as well. Indeed, and often the margins on the drink as well, by the way, which is a critical point. Morning, Greg. Regarding the hospital patient files, I voted for councillors to look into problems arising in the community, so why are none of them coming onto Highland Radio to express concerns at these patients' files lying around with no security? Thank you. Well, we did have one on yesterday, and it was kind of said that we probably maybe, you know, let it slide, let the hospital sort it out themselves, that, you know, staff maybe shouldn't be contacting the media. Was the impression that was given, and maybe that's what staff want. You know, let me know. Maybe staff are saying leave us alone, if you know what I mean, if that's what staff want. Two, it's not about staff, of course, it's about the hospital itself. But if you're a Letterkenny University Hospital member of staff and you want to say, right, enough is enough, stop talking about the hospital and the services, let it be known. 086 60 25000. The best going pub in Ireland is in the Dáil. €3 a pint and busy from morning to night. How many of them need medical help? €3 a pint. What was that? 8,000 in South Donegal would get me elected for €3 a pint. Joke, of course. My daughter was under orthopaedic care in Letterkenny. She was sent to Ballykelly to get knee surgery done. 3 weeks later, she was admitted to hospital for another issue. They suspected an infection to do with the surgery. They wouldn't look at her then because she had surgery done elsewhere. Be careful. It's all well and good to get referred to Ballykelly, but then they won't look at you maybe in a public hospital. Caroline, am I to take this person in now? Yes, this is okay. Right. Has anyone else seen a difference in their electricity bill with these new smart meters? It's over 600 since we got the meter. It used to be high anyway, around 300. I got in contact with the company for someone to check it out. There would a €200 fee for someone to come out and check. That's how much it would cost. I would be liable to pay if there was nothing wrong. Has anyone else's bill gone up with these smart meters? Well, you see, I don't think it's necessarily to do with smart meters, and that's not to say that's not the case in your case, but we were contacted. We did a bit about electricity bills 5 or 6 weeks ago, and people who, like, my bill's 290, okay? That's what the last bill was, or maybe it was 310. And it's been pretty consistent like that. But other people were getting bills for €400, €500, €600, you know, a couple living on their own and stuff. I don't know how that pans out, to be honest with you, but it's not something you should ignore. Right, okay, we're joined on the programme now by Alana Kiernan, COPD Outreach Nurse Specialist. Good morning, Alana.
Hi, Greg, good morning.
It's good to have you on the programme. We're talking about World COPD Day. Talk to us again about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. I know a lot of regular listeners to this show would know what we're talking about because... it's talked about commonly. But I think sometimes, Alana, we don't really pay much attention until maybe we start getting a little symptom here or there, or it enters our life by another means. So even though we talk about it consistently, I think it's a different set of ears that hear these conversations each time.
Yeah, absolutely. And with today being World COPD Day, the focus of this year is actually on early detection around COPD and awareness of the condition, signs and symptoms of that. So I think it's a great opportunity to get the topic of COPD out there to people who might not necessarily have thought it ever was going to impact on them or a family member, perhaps. It's a very underdiagnosed condition. Unfortunately, 380,000 people estimated in Ireland to be living with it, with approximately 5,500 those in Donegal here alone. And then, a quarter underdiagnosed is a lot. So we just want to get the awareness of COPD out there, focus really on early detection. And I suppose the first step in getting awareness of the condition out there is acknowledging what the signs and symptoms are and just get people talking about it.
And we'll talk about that. Is it possible, do you think, when we talk about underdetection, and I mean, it affects people at different ages, don't get me wrong, but that, you know, someone running up the stairs might get to the top and feel short of breath and say, oh, I'm getting old now, or, you know, have an interruption to their breathing or a cough or something and just put it down, I can't shake this cold. Would they be some of the common examples of, you know, us missing potentially early diagnoses?
Yeah, I suppose one of the main symptoms that people would get that do have COPD is shortness of breath, particularly on exertion, with a cough as well too, and that can be with phlegm or without phlegm. So I suppose if you are having these symptoms, you shouldn't necessarily brush it off that, oh, I'm just getting older and this is part of, you know, aging really. Yes, it does normally affect people over the age of 35 years, but that's again why we want people to come chat to us about it. We can get, you know, booked in for spirometry, get that diagnosis early, get you on the right treatment plan, and turn a chronic condition into a condition that's treatable and isn't going to impact on your daily activities.
It is a progressive disease, isn't it? So early diagnosis and getting to the right treatment can help to at least stave off the worsening of the condition. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The earlier that you can detect it, the earlier the treatment can come into place and, try and keep it at a nice steady level without any, you know, massive deterioration or progression in it.
And you talk about it kind of, you know, normally it affects people over 35, but what is the most common age that symptoms begin? And talk us through those symptoms again, just in case anyone's noticing it. Because the best thing we can do, and we're reluctant to do it, is actually just go and get it checked out. Do you know what I mean? It could well be that you need to do a little bit more exercise, or you do have a persistent tickly cough. But if you have those kind of physical changes, like a cough that won't go away, or all of a sudden you find yourself out of breath after exertion, you know, in any scenario, whether it's COPD or something else, you should never ignore those things, I don't think, Alana.
No, absolutely. Get yourself checked out 100%. As I say, it typically is people definitely over the age of 35, more so over 40, experiencing, like I said, a shortness of breath, in particular on exertion. Mm-hmm. A niggling cough that just isn't really going away. You can have sputum or phlegm with that cough, but you don't. It isn't always a productive cough.
So it could be a dry cough kind of a thing, could it?
Yeah, any sort of, you know, either a dry cough or a productive cough. Again, COPD, obviously, it's more common in smokers, but 30% of cases of COPD actually occur in non-smokers. Mm. You know, so again, the message to get out there is, if you have any of these symptoms, talk to somebody, get yourself checked out, get that diagnosis so we can get you on the right treatment.
But let's go back to the smokers, because 70% of cases are in smokers. And I'm talking maybe particularly to those, you know, in their 20s, 25, 30, 35, that, you know, feel okay, it doesn't do them any harm and so on and so forth. It really is a big contributory factor, and you can do yourself a big favour in many, many ways, even financially, of course, by giving up smoking. We've got great support through your colleagues at Quit Up here in the Northwest as well. You know, now's the time on COPD to say, right, I'm going to remove one of the biggest risk factors from my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like the younger that you begin smoking and the length of years that you smoke all contribute towards, you know, COPD and that. So We have a forum coming up tomorrow in the Mount Errigal as well that I would just also like to mention. I keep saying about coming and chatting to us and getting yourself checked out. Tomorrow's a perfect opportunity to do that. We're in the Mount Errigal tomorrow from 10 o'clock. The respiratory multidisciplinary team, myself, the respiratory nurses, consultants, physios, with some voluntary groups coming as well there as well too. So I think it'd be a great day. It's free admission for anyone that has COPD or thinks they might have COPD, and or anyone that genuinely just wants more information on the condition, just to get the word out there and spread awareness.
And I'm thinking maybe bringing, maybe it's an opportunity to bring a reluctant relational partner or something that maybe is putting it off, like we've been talking, Alana. I mean, these are all very lovely and welcoming and friendly. Maybe this is the day that, you know, you can get a diagnosis if you have it and start the treatment plans as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, as I say, tomorrow it's going to be a very relaxed day. You'll have an opportunity to chat one-on-one with the professionals. I suppose it'll be nice for people that are kind of reluctant. They don't either want to go. You know, it's not a clinical setting as such. As I say, it's in the Mount Errigal. We'll have a bit of lunch. We'll have a chat. There'll be some information there for people. I'm really hopeful that it's going to be a good day and people are going to find it informative, and it'll be really worthwhile in attending.
Okay. And just remind us one more time, it is a free admission to a free event. It's open to CODPP patients, their families, friends, or anyone wanting more information. Registration at 10 a.m. with tea, coffee on arrival. Lunch will be provided with the day coming to a close at around 3 p.m. Is that correct? Do you have to, just registering on the morning is enough, is it?
Absolutely, it is indeed. And I'm saying that if anyone wants to give me a wee call about it, if they have any queries or questions before that, that's absolutely fine. No need for pre-booking, free admission, and you've summed it up pretty much right there, Greg. Free
lunch. Thanks so much for your time, Alana. Lovely to speak to you. Alana Kiernan, COPD Outreach Nurse Specialist. It affects an awful lot of people. 5,500 Donegal people are living with this condition. 380,000 people with COPD in Ireland. And just the really important thing, and I said it before in this programme, if we reach one person or two people or three people that have those symptoms and they go along and get early intervention, they can go on to a more healthy life. So hopefully that's reached you if you needed to hear it. It's tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and they're lovely people, as I say. It's not a non-clinical setting and not as threatening as we might see. Now, we had two lovely ladies in studio last week talking about an event, the LYFS / Errigal College Parents Association fundraiser. And I wanted to give it another mention. It's in aid of brain cancer research. And it's on tomorrow. Just another wee reminder for you. It's a coffee morning. There's going to be a craft sale, so you can get those personalised knitted gifts for someone for Christmas if you so wanted. And there's going to be pampering and makeup as well, thanks to some amazing students from the Errigal College. So it is at the Life's Centre, which is number 1 New Line Road in Letterkenny, and it starts tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. Ladies, you better have Highland on in the background, or maybe should we give you the hour and a half off while the show's on? But anyway, hopefully you have a great turnout. As I say, I really enjoyed the conversation with two of the beautiful women, beautiful people they were behind that. Hi, I'm 41. I got a chest x-ray, all clear, but I need to take a steroid inhaler a few times a week. I don't smoke or vape. I had a humdinger of a flu in November 2019 and haven't been the same since with my chest. Indeed, yeah. We sometimes people do have after effects after a bad flu. I think Sinn Féin wanted to close the Dáil bar some time ago. This never happened. I'm sure they were objected to from the usual sources. I recall during a late Dáil sitting, a male TD who pulled a female colleague TD onto his lap. Indeed, I remember that. Wasn't that terrible? Look at, I'm sure a few of the Sinn Féin TDs go into the bar as well. I have a problem with an electricity bill. It would normally be around €300. The last bill was, wait for it, €511. We're cutting back, but the bill's getting higher. We got a smart meter in the early summer. That comes in from Joe and Killy Gordon. Now, the problem is, and I'm not here to defend smart meters, but a lot of people have smart meters and they didn't even know they were installed. I know of at least two people very close to me that I was curious and opened their boxes, as you do. And lo and behold, inside was a couple of smart meters. Now, so lots and lots of people have smart meters. So I don't know if it is it the smart meter that's causing the higher bills or just the cost of electricity. But from €300 to €511 in a cost of living crisis, which we are in, is a massive, massive increase. Hi, just listening to your show. I've had a number of experiences with my girl at primary school in which the boys in class have made sexual comments and gestures to her using drink bottles, and girls in the playground in both third and fourth class. These were things then I can only imagine they saw online. When I mentioned it to parents, a few said, "Sure, that's boys for you." I never thought I'd have a conversation with my daughter in third class like that. Kids just shouldn't have phones if parents can't police what they see. My kids just don't be on anything electronic. That's not child-proofed as much as can be. I just find it shocking kids that young are being exposed to such things in a school playground around younger kids. The school did take it seriously, but sure, it's too late when it's already been said. So, and they've been careful with the language, but you can fill in the blanks. This is third class, third and fourth class in primary school. Boys making sexual comments and gestures using drink bottles. So you can imagine. That's really worrying, isn't it? Hi, can you let people know the Black Mountain Road in Malinhead is in a terribly dangerous condition and has been like this for a few months now. There's water running down both sides in torrents, so cars now go up and down the middle of the road due to shocks not cleared on both sides. Please read this out, as it's very dangerous. Thank you. Of course, more than happy to read that out, and hopefully something can be done about that. We shall see. All right, you are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio.
Business Matters, in association with the Faculty of Business at ATU Donegal. For a career in financial governance, consider the Level 9 MA in Governance and IT in Financial Services, starting in January. Contact the Exec Ed Coordinator on 91-86206 or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie today.
All right, we're joined in studio now by Chris Ashmore, presenter of Business Matters podcast. Hi, Chris. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
We were talking there about smart meters.
Yes, I was looking up. My own bill was out of contract, and I looked up and I contacted a company, and it was very interesting to find out. And in fairness to the provider, the person on the other end of the phone did tell me and explain to me. Some people may think that you're going to save a lot of money switching over to a smart meter and you get this much lower rate. But when you go into the detail, there was a very low rate between 2 and 5 in the morning, geared towards people, you know, charging their electric car and this sort of thing. And then there was a standard. There was actually 4 different rates, and between 5 and 7 in the evening, which is when most of us are in our houses and doing your evening meal. The rate was, I think the standard rate I was looking at was maybe 34, 35 cent, but it was nearly 60 cent between 5 and 7. So she did say, you know, if you are on a smart meter and you look at a plan, look carefully about when you're using your consumption, because at first glance I thought, well, maybe I can save and I can do my washing at the weekend.
I wouldn't have the dishwasher, the washing machine, or the dryer. Now, we don't use the dryer much, in fairness. It's mostly a clothes horse. But I would never use any of those overnight.
Yeah.
Because I've spoken to people from the fire service, and one of them, actually, their dishwasher went on fire themselves. I would not be content with children in the house going to bed with that stuff on. And you're quite right, from what I could see. And these are smart meter plans.
Yes, yeah.
You can have a smart meter. You have to
sign up for it.
But yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Much more, well, considerably more expensive during the day. Yeah. Really hitting you when you want to use the electricity. Mm. And cheaper at night, where you either don't have an electric car or you're less inclined to use these goods because of the dangers of it. Yeah. So
you'd have to be very disciplined about your use. And I looked at it and I thought, no, this is not going to save me any money. So I didn't. But just on that, if you're out of contract, you do save. And I think a lot of people don't realize when they go out of contract, your unit rate can go up quite a lot. In my case, it went up 33%.
And you're 100% right too, because the same applies to broadband, Chris, because if someone's signed up and they get their 30, 35, 40 euro per month broadband bill, once that contract is concluded, they are out of contract, and it goes up to 55, 60, 65, and you do get a notice, but you know yourself, Chris, we're busy. So what I suggest you do, whenever you sign up for something, and I'm switching left, right, and centre, I open my phone, because we have it on us, and I fast forward 11 months, into the calendar and set a notification and say price around broadband, price around electricity, price around car insurance. Do you know what I mean? And you do it at the time you book it. And because, as I say, I'm at about €210 because I wasn't aware that I came out of contract with my broadband and I really got stuck. Yeah. So now if you ring them, then they go, well, no, we can give you the new contract and it's this, that and the other. Yes. But, you know, okay, good advice, Chris. Good advice as always. Okay, let's talk about a bit of news here. And it was a great night last Friday night for the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards.
Yes, of course, Business Person of the Year, Martine Kelly of Kelly's Centre and Mountaintop in Letterkenny. James Russell of Glenard Plant was a Hall of Fame winner.
And
I'm throwing
Anne in there as well.
And lots of different awards. Really the highlight of the calendar. And it's not just a Letterkenny thing. It's a county-wide and people from all parts of the county. And long may it continue. And it's great to see that recognition. And it means a lot to the people as well when your own people are recognising you.
Was it you interviewed James Russell?
No, that was Kieran. Yes.
Yeah, because his interview, and it was great to see him embracing his success to some extent, because he had that convo with Kieran. That was the first time we'd ever spoke publicly. And he came up here for a chat with us, and it was the first time ever doing a live radio interview, because he's just been, him and Anne and the team have just been battering away. And it was lovely for him to get the recognition, because I think for him it was a bit of a turning point in that, okay, right, maybe what I'm doing here is particularly successful. And Martine, of course, was with us as well. Great ambition for the future of Kelly's Centre at Mountaintop. But there was a whole host of other winners and all really worthy. Right, you have a couple of notes for our diaries, Chris.
Yes, the local enterprise office is hosting a business supports clinic at the Public Services Centre in Donegal Town. That's on Friday, November the 24th from 10 to 11 a.m. And it'll outline the supports and services of the local enterprise office and give you an explanation of the various grant aid that is available, the whole criteria involved. So if you have a business or if you think you're starting something and you're in that Donegal Town area, this is a great way just to get an overview of the supports that are there. And there are a lot of supports there. And you could be guided down. It might be even down the mentoring line. It may not actually be a support. And also a reminder that the Letterkenny Chamber and Donegal Women in Business, they have a big event on Wednesday, November the 22nd. And it's all in relation to artificial intelligence, which is AI very much a bit of a buzzword at the moment. It's the event's called Marketing AI New, Supercharge Your Small Business. And that's in the Silver Tassie Hotel from 7 to 9 o'clock on next Wednesday. So I'm sure there'll be big interest in that.
Now, I don't want to pull the rug from under you, Chris, but I think we're going to talk about carpets now, aren't we? If you think I'm not going to interrupt with dad jokes and puns, Chris, you've another thing coming.
Oh, I know that. Well, Greg, I'm just wondering, have you any old carpets in your house that could potentially be valuable? Because the rose, that's what it's called, which is a pile carpet that was woven in killybegs, has been sold at an auction at the world famous Sotheby's in London. And the price, €25,400, it's about €29,000. Now, I've been delving into this and I found a thick pile of information.
Okay, don't you?
Brief history. Now, this is actually quite interesting. Yeah. This carpet was designed by a man called Charles Francis Ainslie Voysey back around 1897. He was a very influential designer at the time, and it was woven in the Morton and Company, a weaving workshop in Killybegs. It measured 22 feet by 11 feet. It was purchased back in 1899, has remained in one family since, and it featured at Sotheby's recent classic design, furniture, clock, silver and ceramic sale in London. So you never know, there could be an old carpet in your house, and why not check it out?
I think, though, this factory, most of their carpets are in places such as Buckingham Palace and others. I can't really quite remember.
But there was a great carpet tradition.
These are absolutely just the creme de la creme.
Yeah, so you never know. And maybe have a look in Granny's house. That hall carpet might be worth more than you think.
Well, if Granny's got a hall that will fit a 22 by 11 foot carpet, which I don't think she's... right, but still, you never know. And I'm sure they did make more affordable, smaller carpets, but they've got an international reputation.
You know, On that, I know the figures from the BBC, the Antiques Roadshow always gets very good figures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, I think there's a great sense of surprise and delight on the financial side when you bring down something that you don't know what it's worth and suddenly you get a nice surprise.
Right, okay. And that rose carpet is the earliest datable carpet woven in Donegal to a Voisé design, which is, again, fascinating. Great find there, Chris. Right, what's coming up on this week's pod?
Yes, Business Matters this week. My guest is Jackie Fegan, founder and proprietor of Four Paws Kennels and Dog Hotel in Kilmacrenan. And last weekend, she won the Best Kennels in Ireland award at the local Pet Awards ceremony in Dublin. And it was a fitting award for Jackie and her husband, Malachy, who have put so much time and work into the business. She established it over 15 years ago. And, you know, at the time, it was a very big move for her. She had a steady job working in a pharmacy. And it's a nice story because here's somebody who had a steady job, but they had a passion, a real love of animals. And she took the plunge, decided to go out, and the business has really flourished from that early days. And I asked her basically what her message would be to somebody who maybe is thinking in a similar fashion.
I would follow your dreams. You only live once, and try not to have any regrets. I certainly don't. It was a big thing, you know. I wasn't sure if I was doing the right thing or not. You were used to your wage coming in at the end of the day, and it was massive because the responsibility too of, you know, having your own business as well. But it all just kind of fell into place. It all happened just, I suppose, unexpectedly and gradually. So that, you know, but I go for it, is what I would say. Do it in baby steps, start small and see how you get on.
All right, Chris, great interview and great chorus in the background as well. Very happy dogs there, looking for their run, don't you know?
Also a few cats down there as well.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the full interview with Jackie available to download now at highlandradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And Business Matters goes out on the air on Sunday evening after the 6 o'clock news. And if you'd like to get in touch with the programme, you can drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Chris, thank you very much for that. Lovely to have you in, and we'll look forward to chatting to you all. We do look forward to chatting to you next week.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com. The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 910-2127.
Is Minikehen effect the five in a fair casfarsenta, her horsey arigidishuan? Is it the Rodinak mainling, Igahorch Thorho, a jetrakavet in a gouche lenner ma? Gwilan Stross Earth, Ten Kadrith in Ulcus. Jetrakshamohu, Gwilan Selig, Titima Sechela, Akta Kaur Erfoil. Fire Asher and Moher, Le Service Doch Vinak den Heren, Agreat Navsblach, a Haurian Le five in a fair casfarsenta retok. Fake back and track Punkai, Letakiok to Realtis Neheran.
Screwfix Black Friday deals are here. Save over 65 euro on the Milwaukee 18 volt angle grinder bare unit, now 94.95. And get the Ford Steel 22 piece toolkit for 36.95, saving 26 euro. For more Black Friday deals, shop now. Must end 27th November. Delivery charges apply.
Brian McCormick, Sports and Leisure, your football specialist. Adidas football boots in many ranges like Crazy Fast, Copa Pure and Predator Accuracy. Puma King Ultimate, King Top, King Future Match for kids and adults. Available in a mixture of soft and firm ground. Adidas socks and shorts, gum shields that can be remolded to improve fit. Match up your boots with Adidas or O'Neill set of socks and shorts. Brian McCormick Sports, your football specialist. Click on bmcsports.ie or call in Main Street Letterkenny.
Jason Quigley here. Professional boxing is back in Donegal. Rumble in the Hills Pro Show takes place November 18th in the Aura Leisure Centre, Letterkenny. Irish Olympian Joe Ward headlines the bill, which also sees lightweight Celtic title fight between James McGivern and Josh Stanford, with many other top class fighters on the card. Tickets available now at EliteSportsPromotions.co.
It's the Christmas cracker we've all been waiting for. Join Highland Radio for a star-studded Christmas concert on Monday the 11th of December in the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny. Starring Michael English and his band, Claudia Buckley, John McNichol, rising star Jack Keogh, and myself, David James. This is a Christmas night out not to be missed. Tickets €25, available from the Mount Errigal Hotel reception or online from the outlet at highlandradio.com. Dinner, bed and breakfast packages also available. That's the Highland Radio Christmas concert on Monday the 11th of December.
All right, you're welcome back to the programme. Via email, a listener says, talk about missing the point. First question asked by Councillor Keir Brogan yesterday is, what's his name? The point is, there is a serious failure. The brand he refers to is a hospital, not a sports syndicate. Do something with the information gathered. Staff have to go public because the executive board suffocate complaints and make life hell for staff that do speak out. Well, the story has been well and truly buried now because the HSE will not be issuing any further comment because the matter has now been referred to on Garda Síochána. Hi, Greg. I wanted to contact you about the R245 road, the Chrysler to Carrigart Downings Road, particularly from the N56 R25 junction down to past Lacquer Bridge. The road, if as anyone knows who has driven on it, is very narrow, and at parts the tarmac is coming away at both sides, and the road's causing users to drive in the middle of the road. It's an extremely busy road and is used by very large commercial vehicles, buses, agricultural vehicles, as it's one of the main routes between Carrigart and Downings to Chrysler and vice versa. If you meet one of these vehicles on the road while you're driving in the opposite direction, you will likely have to slow down, stop, as the road is not designed for this type of traffic going both ways. And they say the road needs to be sorted as soon as is possible. Okay, we are joined now by our next group of guests. And there's two pairs of headphones there, ladies, if you don't mind putting them on. There should be two pairs. Anyway, we'll see. Is there another pair for you? No? It's fine. I'll get to that in a moment. Right, okay, I'll tell you what I might do. I might take a quick break just whilst we do set up a set of headphones. Stay right where you are. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Right, we've a number of guests now to discuss our next issue, and that is calls on the Education Minister to take action to end what's been described as the unfair treatment of school transport bus escorts. And we're joined in studio by Anne McLaughlin and Breed Gallagher. Good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Deputy Padraig McLaughlin is with us as well. Good morning, Padraig. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg, and to all your listeners.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And we have people joining us too on the telephone line. But I'll start with you, Anne McLaughlin. The role of a bus escort, for those who may not be aware.
Yeah, what do you call it? Well, it came into law in the year 2000. So it's 23 years the bus escorts would have to be on. For people who don't know what our role as a bus escort is, we travel on the school bus around the country collecting children, young adults with special needs, and take them to special needs schools, nationals and secondaries. These pupils have a wide range of disabilities. To mention a few, from learning, hearing, sight, non-verbal, autism, Down syndrome, children in wheelchairs, medical conditions like asthmatics, epilepsies, which require us to administer medication. If they cry, we dry their eyes. If they're sick, we clean them up. If they wet themselves while having seizures, we let them know it's okay and we get them sorted. If they have a bad morning, we calm them down before they go to school. This starts the school day for the child. If they're scared, confused, we reassure them that it's all okay and that they are safe. We take care of these children as if they are our own. All this is in a confined space of a bus with 10 to 15 plus children, and in some cases only 1 to 2 escorts on board while travelling, anything up to 4 to 5 hours round trips a day. We all love our job, and it's wonderful children that we are so lucky to be working with, and we are the link between the parents and the school.
And I think really it's clear that this is not an issue. This is not an issue you have with schools here or with parents, that those relationships are sound. And we'll get to the nuts and bolts of this. And I want to bring you in too. In terms of, I beg your pardon, Breed, in terms of wages then, comparable type of work that you do, where do bus escorts sit?
Well, we haven't had a wage rise in almost 5 years. The last time we had a wage rise was 7 cents an hour, and nothing has happened since. And I suppose we've arrived to today because we tried many years ago, 6-7 years ago, with Charlie McConnell Logue. He met a group of us in his office down the street and he tried his best. He liaised with Regina Doherty, who was the then Minister for Social Protection, and he got a generic reply back. Nothing happened. We tried then with Thomas Pringle and he tried to sort things out. Nothing happened. So we're hoping third time lucky with Padraig McLachlan. We had actually a meeting arranged with Padraig and then COVID kicked in. So we're kind of maybe 2.5-3 years after the event. So we've come to today. You know, there's been a journey to come to today.
Yeah.
Just to try and bring us in line. There's been no wage rise in 5 years.
May I ask, are any bus escorts directly employed by the Department of Education or are all of you? Because we've had, it seems quite similar to maybe the secretary situation that we had, or the caretaker situation where we had, in those instances, there was a mixture of those directly employed by the Department of Education and then by schools, and then there was discrepancies. And I think that problem is on the way to being resolved. So what is the, who is the employer of bus escorts?
Well, it's kind of kicking the can, Greg, because we are employed. The Department of Education Transport Department pay our wages.
Uh-huh.
They pay it into the school by means of grant aided. So the Board of Management then employs the individual escorts deemed on what's the
So that means you don't have holiday pay. I don't know what the situation is with pensions and what have you. You don't get the entitlements that people working in similar roles but in different environments get. I'm going to come back to you. It's clear, Deputy Padraig McLachlan, that they feel to this point, heretofore, they've been knocking their head against a brick wall. What's your take on the bus escorts situation?
Yeah, Greg, and you rightly referred to the school secretaries and the school caretakers who, you know, everybody knew, who were certainly in the case of the secretaries, the beating heart of the schools, but they were treated as second-class citizens for a long time. They didn't have any pay at all during school holidays. They had to sign on. They didn't have any pension or entitlements or, you know, any of that, yet they were playing such a crucial role. And that went on for years. And that issue, thanks to their campaign, has been resolved pretty much. So now, a number of weeks ago, I met with a large delegation, Breege, Anne, and many others, and indeed others have been in contact with me today following the report on your news show. And, you know, I just was completely taken aback. And obviously, these are mostly women and some men. Clearly are not doing it for their money. They're civic-minded people. They do such an important job looking after children, young people with special needs or disabilities. Anne has outlined what that job involves. It's so important to these young people. And I was just taken aback how badly they're being treated. 69 days a year, they're not paid. They have to go and sign on.
Well, it's a nightmare too, because the money takes ages to come through, and you've got your bills and what have you, and you're sitting there having to go, and you have to go through the same process every single time.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to you in a second, obviously, Padraig. I appreciate your time. But Anne, I just want to run it past you. Do you know, you talk with such passion, such care, such love of the children and genuine care. Do you feel sometimes that is being exploited?
Definitely, it's not what you call it. It does not be reflected in how we're treated as having to go to a social welfare, an interim office. I had to sit for an hour and a half to get a form, which they handed me out was the wrong form. Fill that in. Be told that was the right form. Fill that in. Wait for it to get your money. Then to phone up the department to be told, no, you filled in the wrong form. I'm going to say you have to come as. Send me out the other form. They never sent it out. Back up to the interim office. They wait another hour to get another form. It took all summer for me to get paid what, you know, a small amount of money, like, you know, from job seekers, which we have to
any
apply.
Any joy in getting that job seekers money was lost with the hoops you had to jump through. You'd wonder,
I just did out a little thing here just to let you see what it entails. As Padraig said, we're 69 days where we get no pay, like, mm-hmm. you know. If the schools decide they're taking an extra bank holiday, we don't get paid for that. We'll get the bank holiday, but we don't get one or two extra days. So we're down that. We've 69 days in total. We received €140 in total for the 69 days, which works out at €104.34 per week, which is €20.87 a day. That is what we get for almost 70 days of the year. Like, who can live in this day and age now? Some of our our escorts had to take loans out over the...
Of course, yeah. Has it been costed how much it would cost the state to employ people properly bred?
I don't think so.
No, okay. Well, we'll come back to that. Maybe Porrig has some figures. I want to go back to Porrig in a second, but I also want to bring in parents as well. Gillian, your daughter attends St. Bernadette's School. How important is the role of the bus escort to your daughter? And Gillian, a very good morning to you, of course, in the first instance.
Thank you. Well, basically, Maddie wouldn't go to school if her bus escort wasn't there. Maddie has severe separation anxiety. She doesn't like being away from home. She doesn't like new people. So seeing that face and that safe, we call her bus escort, she's one of her safe people. So she knows that when she's with Eileen on the bus, she's safe. She knows that she can be her. Eileen gets her in the morning when she's at her worst, when she's anxious, when she's nervous, when she's overwhelmed. I can just go out and shake a head and Eileen will go, morning, come on Maddie, let's go. And then she gets her in the evenings at 2:30, 3 o'clock when she's exhausted, she's overwhelmed, she's tired, and she has her for almost an hour and a half a day where she's constantly working with Maddie to keep her confident, to keep her happy, assured.
And it's wonderful for Maddie, Gillian, but it's also for your peace of mind as well. And I think Maddie calls her her save person.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
She's on her list as we teach Maddie who's safe and who's tricky people and things like that. And Eileen's on her safe people. Eileen's mentioned 4 or 5 times in the morning before we even leave for school. You know, it's, oh, come on, we'll get your hair done now so Eileen can see your hair. And, oh, there's Eileen now on the bus. It's time to go. Yeah. So without that, she wouldn't go to school. She wouldn't leave me happy in the morning. Which is one of the reasons why she's no longer in stream, because she couldn't cope with that separation. Mm-hmm. And we have never had one day where we've had to worry now since she started, and that's 2 years now in January. Okay. So we couldn't do it without our bus escort.
And Gillian, you'd back the bus escorts in their campaign for equal treatment. They're not looking for anything above and beyond. They're just looking for equal treatment. You they have your support, I take it?
Oh, completely. I honestly didn't know. It was only whenever I was told about it and heard about it and I was shocked. I was horrified.
And I think that's actually borne out. Sorry to cut across you, Gillian, but we I think the majority of parents, 98%, a survey, 98% of parents were in disbelief that bus escorts were treated this way. That's everyone, yeah. Really. Statistically, it's everyone.
I didn't know at all. Okay. I just couldn't believe it.
Gillian, thank you for your time. Best wishes to Maddie and all of the family. Catherine is with us too, a parent of a child who uses the school buses. Catherine, your child attends Little Angels. So how important is the bus escort for him?
Oh, it is so crucial. My son, David, he is non-verbal autism. And he has been using the bus service for maybe 3 years now. And without the bus service, without the bus escorts, he would not be able to go to school. You know, he goes out every morning and Eileen's on the bus. Eileen, she's a favourite. Eileen and Kate on the bus. You know, like, without them, he would not be able to go to school. They're my voice. They're his second mommy. They take care of him. Nice. When he leaves my hands in the morning.
What an amazing way to be able
I put my trust in them 100% and they come back and forth to me with any problems, you know. And you can, it's like having a therapy session at the bus door in the morning, you know. Okay. They're there for you. And you just, you know, you can't describe, like, I have such admiration for people that do this job.
And you back them 100% in this
them,
campaign,
it would not
Catherine.
Be possible.
Sorry, you back
they
them.
Need equal
you,
pay.
Yep.
Oh, yes, pay. 100%. Okay. They need equal pay, equal respect. Because their job is hard.
Okay.
I have one child. Can you imagine being on a bus with 12, 13 other children with additional needs? All different needs.
Yeah, they're amazing. Okay, Catherine, listen, thank you so much for the time. Deputy McLaughlin, I want to get something on the record here and not speak to you as an opposition TD. I'm going to speak to you presumably, potentially, as a government TD. So to seek a commitment from you now, if elected into government, are you confident that Sinn Féin would listen to bus escorts and through your Department of Education, Minister for Education, would right this wrong? Is that a commitment?
Yes, it is. And I spoke to Sorka Clark a number of times now, who's our education spokesperson, our TD, and she is aware of this issue. I want her to raise it through the Education Committee. I want her to challenge more forcefully. Yes, we need a situation where special needs assistance, school secretaries, school caretakers, and our school transport escorts are treated the same, are valued the same. And I think what's happened, I didn't know, that's why I'm just so taken aback. I didn't know until those few weeks ago when I met with such a large group.
No, I'm a little embarrassed that I wasn't aware of this previously, to be honest with you, given the job that I do.
Because they're such good people, like they're not in this for the money, but they've been taken for granted for too long. And they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect and paid accordingly and not have to go on and sign on for those 69 days and get paid derisory amount of money. So, yes, I'm absolutely committed to them getting justice. And hopefully they won't have to wait for a Sinn Féin government. Hopefully we can do it quicker. Hopefully.
But be that as it may, Breed, on the record, you have a commitment from potentially the next government that they will right this wrong.
So I think Padraig has been...
You might take a night note of the time and date.
Yeah, I think Padraig has been a beacon, to be honest with you. He came to see us a few weeks ago and he was just wonderful. The passion he showed, it was just amazing to us. And your last speaker talked about the mammy effect. I have a son with special needs with autism. He's 25 and I have been handing him over to bus escorts for many, many years. And I can only say they've all been so wonderful. They've made such a difference in our lives and in Luke's life. And it is like another, it's like a friend to Luke and he speaks so highly of them. So, you know, it's we're not angels and we're not doing an amazing work, but we're doing our work
know,
and we're doing our best, and it would be nice to be appreciated for it.
Exactly, by the department.
Yes, and I just would like to say one thing. Holly Cairns, who's a social Democrat lady, TD, she brought this up in July 2023 with the minister, and she got a kind of a generic reply about all this the transport system is costing the government. And Norma Foley said that there was 18,000 special needs children travelling every day in primary and post-primary settings. She didn't exactly say about the special needs as well. So there's 18,000 plus children. She never kind of stopped to think of who's taking those children safely, watching them every day. And so when Padraig asked her the same question 2 weeks ago, he got the same reply. Mm. It was actually copy and paste.
Well, we have, and quite rightly so, revolutionised school transport over the last two and a half years to accommodate thousands of extra students. There's buses with two students going on from one part of the county to another. Yeah. Not saying that's the wrong thing, OK, but when there is a will, we find the way. So finally, Anne, you know, it's clear the passion that you have for this job. The last thing you'd ever want to do is withdraw a service.
No. That's not on our plan.
I know, but we can't allow that to be used as an excuse.
Well, we can say here now that we are all of the same opinion. We are not going to put whole parents.
That can't be used against you. That's
well, it is what it is, because none of us would like to see that done to any parents and children. And we want to also say that our schools are not the issue here. It's the department of education that needs to get their finger out. It's nothing to do with our schools. We have great, great respect for our schools, and they work wonderfully with us.
Anne McLaughlin, thank you so very much indeed.
Greg, thank
appreciate
you
your time.
Thank you,
thank you, Breed Gallagher. Lovely to have you in as well.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I hope you're so successful in what you're trying to do. Thanks to our callers. And finally, thanks to you, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin. It's been good to have you on the show again. And we look forward to seeing movement in that regard. As you say, hopefully within the lifetime of this government. But if not, and if elected, you've committed to do so early on in Sinn Féin's tenure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And that's where we leave it. Back with you tomorrow morning at 9.